Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf lamed gimel, and we are at the third wide line on daf lamed beis amid beis. Yesterday we began the fourth perek echad dinei mamonos. So the perek began mentioning a similarity between the way Bezdin went about dinei mamonos and the way Bezdin went about dinei nefashos. Echad dinei mamonos ve'echad dinei nefashos bedrusha v'chakira. And it's a chiddush, because although the pasuk that says v'darasha v'chakarta is by dinei nefashos, but there's also a pasuk that says mishpat echad yilachem, and that teaches us that Bezdin has to treat dinei mamonos, despite the fact that it's somewhat lenient, in the same way that it treats dinei nefashos, despite the fact that it's certainly a lot more stringent. Stating that, says the Mishnah, although there's a pasuk mishpat echad yilachem, and although there is one important similarity between dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos, there are many differences. And the first difference that the Mishnah mentioned is something that was discussed already in great detail in the first parak. Dinei mamonos b'shloisha, dinei nefashos b'esrim v'shloisha. And then the Mishnah continued and said, dinei mamonos poischin, the opening remarks can be bein l'schus, bein l'chayv. Whereas dinei nefashos poischin l'schus, the ain poischin l'chayv, says the Gemara. Heichi amrina. So what does it mean when we say dinei nefashos poischin l'schus? Amr Rav Yehuda hachi amrina. Yehuda said that what it means is as follows. Mi yeimar kedamrit. When the two Edom walk into Bezdin, and they tell Bezdin that I know Reuven's Chayiv Misa. Why? Because I saw Reuven be Michal Shabbos. I saw Reuven be Oved Avodah Zarah. I saw Reuven kill somebody. The first thing that Bezdin is going to say, Mechateisa, how do you know? Mi yemer kida amrisu, meaning they challenge what the Edom are saying. Amalei Ula. Ula said, v'chasmina lohu. That's not a good idea because you're intimidating them. And you're going to cause them maybe to take back what they said. They may start second guessing what they originally thought was true. And that's counterproductive. Says the Gemara, why is that counterproductive? Elichsimu. Maybe it's a good thing. Me like Tanya, didn't we learn in the Braisa? Reb Shimon Allah said, that they used to do things to the Edom. They were taken from this room to that room. There were interrogation, subtle interrogation that they would do to the Edom to try to get them off their game. So you see that Bezdin would proactively do things to try to throw the Edom off. So just like they can do what's mentioned in the Braisa later, maybe they question the Edom right out of the gate, and if it causes them to be thrown off their game, to the contrary. But the Gemara says, Midami, it's not a traditional Hasam and Melo Kamitchu. Over there, you're not actually telling them that I don't necessarily believe you. What you're doing is you're trying to get them tired, hazy, hungry. So those things maybe are okay. But here by doing it, this is certainly not appropriate. And therefore the Gemara says there's no way when we say that dinei mamonos poischin l'schus, what it means is that we're going to question the Edom. Rashi quotes a pasuk, ubiyarta hara, meaning what Rashi's saying is that it's true, there's an idea of yitzilu ha'edo, that on the one hand, anytime a person stands to be killed by Bezdin, we have to do everything we could possibly do to try to save this person's life. But at the same time, you have to balance that with another idea, the idea of ubiyarta rami kirbecha. If there's someone that really deserves to die, then to the contrary, then you're supposed to kill him. So you're right, masi and esaidim imokim lamot kadesha titarev daitam v'yachsru b'hem. And that's all kiyum of the idea of yitzilu ha'eda. But that's okay because it's menela kamitcho. But to do something biyadayim, that would not be okay because then already you're going to start violating ubiyarta ras. You always have to balance the ubiyarta rami kirbecha with the idea of yitzilu ha'ed. Either way, so what does the Mishnah mean then when it says dinei nefashos poischin l'schus elam ma'ula hachi amrinam? What it means is as follows: they would say yeshlocha edim lahazimam. They would try to be ma'orer mazimim, people to come tell these two edim that claim to have seen Reuven do something for which he's chayv misa. Imanu ayisem, but more complaining. But Abba Rabba said, "V'chi poischem b'schusay shazeh sheichay vasay shazeh." If two edim would come now and be mazim, these two edim, so it would be schusay shal Reuven, meaning Reuven would be off the hook. It would turn out that the two edim that were trying to testify against them were liars. So now Reuven is okay, but it would be chayv vasay shal edim because lasisam lekashesav lasus la'achiv. So it's true that on the one hand, if edim Nazimim will come, we are saving, we're benefiting. It's chusay shel ha-defendant, But at the same time, it's chavasa shel edim. So that doesn't seem to be right either. But the Gemara says miyavi chavasa. It's actually not, because the time we learned in the Mishnah, ain't edim zayim in erogin achi yigomer adin. This is hazama 101. That the only time edim zayim in have to pay kasha zomam, that's if they said edus. There was already a gemardin gomru hadavar ish ployniyato chayiv, and then afterwards they were found to be edim zayimim. But if they were found to be edim zayimim before the gemardin, they do not get punished. There's no kasha zomam. Now, when did this happen? These are the opening remarks of Esden, poischen loschos, which means it's before the gemardin. If it's before the gemardin, by requesting edim step forward and try to be mazim these edim, it's chusay shall have defendant, and it's not chayvasa shall have mazimin. Why not? Because the gemara didn't happen yet. So even if right now two other edim would come and tell these edim, you're liars, because imanu ayisim b'mal complaining, nothing's going to happen to those two edim, because it's before the gemara didn't. So maybe that is a good answer. Maybe what Ula is saying is right. Maybe schusay is yesh locha edim lazimim. What's the kasha? It's chayvasa shall zeh. Who's a chayvasa shall ha edim zaymim? And it's not true, because if they're found to be edim zaymim right now, it's clearly before the gemara didn't. Again, these are the opening remarks. It's well before. This is the beginning of the trial. The gemara didn't is the end of the trial. So at this point, it's not chayvasa shel zeh, but says the Gemara hachi amidin. This is what the Maksha meant. Ilu shosekai adeg migmar dine umaisiyed b'mazul havel chavasa shel zeh. I mean, the Gemara knows right this second it's not chayvasa shel zeh, because right now the Gemara didn't happen yet. But if Edom, I'm going to come and I'm going to be mazin then, or if the Edom don't come yet and they don't show up until a week later after the trial has already concluded, at which point there was a gemara din, and then they say imanu yisim b'mal complaining, then it would be chayvasa shel zeh. So you're right. At the moment that Bezdin utters those words, yesh locha edim lazimam, if edim would suddenly appear out of thin air and say imanu yisim b'mal complaining, it wouldn't be chayvasa shel zeh. But the chashash is that maybe they're going to come later. So either way, that can't be it either. El amar Rabba. Rabba said amrina le. What's this poischen l'schus by every din in nefashes? What we say is yesh locha edim lahakrisha. Not yesh locha edim lahazimam, yesh locha edim lakrishan. Maybe you know edim that can contradict the story, that can support you. If two other edim would say imanu yisim b'mal complaining, that's chayvasa shel zeh. But when there's two edim that are makrish each other, an ordinary trey utrey, then there's nothing at stake. There's no kasha zomam. The two edim that come and are makrish would knock out the first two edim. Thus, it's schusa, you would save the life of this person, and that's the poischem l'schus. Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana said midivreichem nizdaka poini. What it means is they would tell him, Bezdin would say, I hear what you're saying, edim. But just so you know, right now, I still think this person is going to be Zakai. What's the purpose of saying that? You give him a little bit of a psychological edge. You make him feel good. You make him feel like he has hope that this tikvah, so that maybe he'll try to be mahapich b'schusay to make something happen. So that's what it means, poischem l'schus. Bezim would just listen to what the Edim say. They would say, I hear Edim, but respectfully, as of this moment, it looks like this person is going to be Yotzah Zakeh. Abaye v'rova, Dami Chavaye. Abaye v'rova said, Amrinale, we tell him, Eloi kotlis loy sitchal. We turn to the defendant, we say, listen, I heard what the Edom said, and if it turns out, but just so you know, if you didn't do anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about. Now, if you did do something wrong, you have a lot to worry about. But poischem l'schus means is that when they explain to the defendant what exactly is at stake, first they would mention that if you did nothing wrong, everything is going to be okay. And then afterwards, they would tell him, if you did do something wrong, it won't be okay. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi said another pshat. Kol mishi yodea l'schus, yavoi v'yolamid olav schus. What they would tell him is that if there's anyone out there that knows something that may help this person's case, let him come and let him make that case. Either way, so the Mishnah made an ambiguous comment. The Mishnah said that dine mamanes poischem bein l'schus bein l'chayv. Dine nefashos poischem l'schus vein poischem l'chayv. And the Gemara wasn't sure, what does it mean, poischem l'schus? So Bezdin sits down, they convene. You have 23 dayanim. They're sitting in a semicircle like we're going to see next week. It's all worked out. All the talmidim and the shurais and the scribes, everybody's there. The first thing they do is they're poischem l'schus. What does poischem l'schus mean? So the Gemara said that maybe it means that they would immediately question the authenticity of what the Edom are saying. The Gemara didn't really like that so much. Then the Gemara said, maybe it means that they try to find Edom to come and be mazim these Edom. The Gemara said, that doesn't seem to make sense either. Then the Gemara said, maybe it means they try to find Edom to at the very least be makrish. Maybe it just means that they turn to the defendant and tell him, don't worry. Based on what we've heard right now, it looks like you're going to be okay. Just let him feel good. Let him have that power that he needs to try to defend himself. Abaye v'Rava said that it means that they just lay it out for him and they tell him first what's going to happen if he's okay. And then only afterwards they tell him, you know, first the good news and then the bad news. Rashi said that they tell him, Kol Misha, they're loischos, they just mean out of Kol Kaira, please, we beg you. There's a person that's potentially on death row. If anybody has any schos, let him come and tell us the schos. Look, the Gemara, after all these pshatim that we had, Tanya Kavosi da Abaye v'Rava. We found the Braisa that elaborates a little bit on the Mishnah, and it supports one of the pshatim. Which one? Abaye v'Rava. What Abaye v'Rava say? That they just lay out the possibilities by first telling him the good news and then the bad news. If you didn't kill him, you have nothing to worry. If you did kill him, then you don't have to worry about it. What's this? Braisa, Rabbi Yemi, Rabbi said, when the Pasuk describes what the Kohen told the Saita, so they told the Saita, if you're innocent, you have nothing to worry about. If you're guilty, you don't have to worry about. Mikan, Zot Rabbi, Shapaischa, Medina Nefashis, Chilo Leschos. So you see that when it comes to Dina Nefashis, you're Paisach Leschos. That means Rabbi Shtelling to that Pasuk by Saita to this Mishnah of Paischa, Medina Nefashis, Chilo Leschos. What do you see over there in that Pasuk by Saita? That when you lay out the two possibilities, you first tell him the good news, and only afterwards you tell him the bad news. Thus, that's pshat in the Mishnah of Poyscha B'din and Fashat Chilas Chus, which was a bayavar of his pshat. Dinei Mominus Machsir. The next halacha of the Mishnah was that if Bezdin makes a mistake, and it's Dinei Mominus, whether it was L'Schus, whether it was L'Chayva, Bezdin could undo what they did. Dine nefashis, they can undo what they did if it's luschos. So if originally they said Ruven Tzchayiv Misa, and then after the Gemar Din, they realized that there's a schos, you can be machzir luschos, but the machzir luchayiv. If originally Ruven was told that he's an innocent man, double jeopardy, you can't go now, and you can't re-prosecute. Frey the Gemara, is that true by Didei Mominus? Machzirin, Bein L'schos, Bein L'chayva, Bezda makes a mistake, they realize they made a mistake, they can unwind it. Frey the Gemara, I'll ask you a kasha, and this Amud right here is one of the most intense Amudim in the entire Masechta. If you look in the Rishonim, and in the Poiskim, it's an Arichus Gedoilam. We'll do what we do. But this, just to mention, is a very, very important daf. You put an asterisk next to it. Sanhedrin daf lamed gimel lamed alf. Zok to Yomaro. Don es hadin es mishnah mesachtes b'chayres. Bezdin paskin de shaylo. Zikas achayv, and they made a mistake. Someone that was guilty, they said, is okay. Chayv es hazaka. Or someone that was innocent, they said, is chayv. Timas ator tiras atome. They got it wrong. Masha asa asa, says the Mishnah. Whatever they did is done. V'yashalami beisai. And the dayan has to make the person that lost as a result of his wrong psak whole. What do you see from this Mishnah? You see that if Bezdin Paskin, Zikas Achai V'Chai V'Sazakai, Times Ator V'Tira Satomi, we're talking about Dine Mominus, the Halach is Masha Asa Asoi. It's done. Now, Yishalami Beisai. But as it relates to the actual psak, it's done. It's the Chastir, it's under the Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said that Dine Mominus Machzirim Bein L'Schoz Bein L'Chayva. So in our Mishnah, it's Mashma that if a dayan makes a mistake, three dayanim, they get it wrong, they realize afterwards, just unwind it, big deal. Machzir, whether it's l'schos, whether it's l'chayv, it doesn't matter what the scenario is, you always have a right to override it. Here you have a Mishnah that says not that way. Masha asa asui, whatever they did is done. You cannot undo it. You can't unwind it. Just via shalami beisai. But the point is that as it relates to the psak halach, it's in effect. So is it in effect or is it not in effect? Says the Gemara for Terutzah. It depends on what kind of dayan we're talking about. Are we talking about a dayan mumcha? Or are we talking about Yoshvei Kronos, Erkosha Besuria? A dayan mumcha, he has the right to overrule his own psak. So if he makes a mistake, he can then say, I made a mistake and I'm undoing it. An ordinary dayan, that's not a mumcha, cannot. Freak the Gemara, can't be. So the mumcha machzir, v'aktani, that same Mishnah said, that if a dayan made a mistake, masha asa asui, v'yashali mi beis, he has to pay out of his own pocket. Stating that, emhoye mumcha lebezdin, if he was a mumcha, potem elishalim, then the first part of the Mishnah is true, masha asa asui, this wrong psak stays in effect. However, whereas an ordinary dayan would have to pay, the mumcha doesn't have to pay. The mumcha is part of the lashon. But what do you see? That mishnah is referring to a mumcha also. The Gemara wanted to say that mishnah is talking about an enei mumcha. It's our mishnah that's talking about a mumcha because a mumcha can undo what he did. You see, clearly not that way. The mishnah is talking about a mumcha. The mishnah says masha asa asa, and if he's a mumcha, it's still masha asa asa. He's just part of the lashon. So says the Gemara. Let's. Omer Rav Nachman, Kanchi Yesh Gadol Menu B'Chachm V'Minyan, Kanchi Yesh Gadol Menu B'Chachm V'Minyan. The chiluk between the two Mishnayos says, our Mishnah that says Machzirin is talking about, we're not the same Dayan that made a mistake, now wants to do it again. He can't. Once you do it, Masha Asa Asa, another Dayan, who's bigger, he's smarter, he's handsomer than the first Dayan. That new Dayan can come and he can say that I want to revisit it, and he can undo what the first Dayan did. But if the second Dayan is not that way, then it's going to be too late. So our Mishnah is talking about where the second Dayan is God of Menem Chachmah, meaning the Mishnah of Rim Bechiris that says Masha Asa Asa is talking about where he was Ein God of Menem Chachmah. Rav Sheshi said a third Teretz. Kancha Ta B'Dvar Mishnah, Kancha Ta B'Shikul Adas. It depends not on who the Dayan that made a mistake was, not on who the Dayan that wants to undo it is, but rather on the type of mistake. You have to analyze the mistake itself. Was the mistake a tov b'dvar mishnah? The Dayan forgot an often a mishnah? Or is it something that was more b'shikla daf? I'm going to explain what that means. Tom Rav Sheish is Amrav Asi, tov b'dvar mishnah chayzer. If a Dayan makes a mistake and it's b'dvar mishnah, then he can undo it. Tov b'shikla daf, enoy chayzer. So our mishnah that says machzirin, bein l'schos, bein l'chayv is talking about where the tois was a tois b'dvar mishnah. A tois b'dvar mishnah is such an obvious mistake. Rashi says you can't even look at it as a real psak. It's not a psak. They'll say it's a psak. Psak is when you get it like a little right. But if you completely blow it, that's not even a psak. You forgot a mishnah. Shnayim meichs and betalis. I think the halacha is, everyone knows, Yachloik HaMishvua. So if a Dayan gets that wrong, it's not even a psak. So that, of course, the halacha is machzirin. Bein l'schos, bein l'chot. In contrast to Dine Nefashas, there it's different. But by Dine Mamon, it's such a ta'us, without a question, we would unwind. The Mishnah B'chayris that says, Masha Aso Asoi, maybe he does have to pay, maybe he doesn't have to pay. That Mishnah over there is talking about where you made not a toys b'dvar mishnah, it was more b'shikul adas. Omele Ravina, the Ravashi, Ravina told Ravashi, when we say mishnah, does it mean literally a mishnah? What if somebody made a toys at a braisa? I feel it with Rav Chia of Rav Oishia. So Rashi says Rav Chia of Rav Oishia, they were the authors of the braises. So what about that? I'm like, yeah, even a toys b'dvar Chia of Rav Oishia. He said, I feel it with Rav and Shmuel. Let's say somebody made a mistake. It wasn't a mishnah. It wasn't a braisa. But it was something Rav and Shmuel said. Amalei in. He said, "I feel it with the divi didach." Even me and you. Amalei, so he told him, "Otu anan katli kana ba'agmanan." What? Who are we? Right today they'd say, "What am I, chopped liver?" But you know, whatever it means. What are we? We're vasa traders. We work in the. Of course, us too. Meaning, it's not toye bedvar mishnah, toye bedvar brisa, toye bedvar. If it's something that's so obvious, something of that nature, if that's what the mistake was over there, the halacha is you can unwind it. If it's a Tos, b'shikol hadas, there you can. Says the Gemara, okay. Hey, chidomi shikol hadas. What is shikol hadas? I'm rapop, rapop. It's like you're going, trey tanoye, trey amiroy, the pligadodi. You have a machlekes tanoye, machlekes amiroy. V'lo itmar hilchesa, loy kemar, v'lo kemar. And it's not clear whether Allah is like one or the other. V'ikri v'avot kichaminayu. And this dying paskin like one of them. So it's not clear who the halacha is like. Is the halacha like this amir? Is the halacha like that amir? But the sugi de shmeitza ozli ki idach. If you go through the sugya, it's a little mashma like the other amir. So this Dayan didn't have a clear-cut mahalach in the sugya. The sugya was mashma one way, and he passed in the other way. He realized afterwards, hainu shikol hadas, that's an example of a tois b'shikol hadas. That type of tois is what the Mishnah Becheiros is referring to. That's the tois that remains in place. Rekta Gemara, Isri Rav Amnuna, Rav Sheshes. Rav Amnuna asked Rav Sheshes. Again, Rav Sheshes was the one that reconciled this very blatant contradiction between two Mishnahis. A Mishnah in Masechtas Sanhedrin, a Mishnah in Masechtas Becheiros. A Dayan that makes a mistake is the psak in effect, and he has to pay for it even, or maybe you can undo it. Depends on what type of mistake it was. A tos b'dvar mishnah, you could be chayzer, bein l'schus, bein l'chayva. A tos b'shikol hadas, you can't be chayzer. So Rav Nunas, Rav Sheshes, ma'isa b'para shal beis Menachem. There was a story with the para of the family Menachem. Shenit loha im shalah. They removed its uterus. Ve'chilo Rab Tarfin l'klovin. And Rab Tarfin paskin, that being that it didn't have its aim, it had a din of a treifa. It wouldn't be able to live 12 months. A treifa you're not allowed to eat. You give it to the dogs. So, Rav Tarfin Paskin, Lakel of Tashlichon Oisai, feed it to the dogs. But, Maislef Nechachomim B'Yavna, and the Chachomim in Yavna heard about this Psak Alok of Rav Tarfin, and they said, we disagree. They said that Parah that doesn't have Eim Shalah is not a treifa. She'omar Tudis Haroifa, and they based it on the testimony of a doctor whose name was Tudus. He said that ain't part of a chazir yotzim Alexander shal Mitzrayim elam ken choyt chamayim shalah. He said that the people that lived in Alexandria, they would export parois and chazirois. But when they would export it, they would first remove its uterus because they didn't want it to be able to procreate. They were trying to control, OPEC. They were controlling the supply and demand. They didn't want too much to get out because it was going to make the price go down. So if you take away its ability to procreate, so obviously you're controlling the supply. But the point is they would live, these animals. So Tudor said that I know for a fact they live more than Yud Beis Chadashim. They're not a treifa. So the Chachamim said that it's not a treifa. Such an animal is going to be okay. And Rav Tarfon heard about that. And this was after Rav Tarfon had already paskined about the parish of Beis Menachin, v'echilu l'klovin. Rav Tarfon said, hochecha morcha Tarfon. Oi, Rav Tarfon skamach tatois, and you're going to have to pay for it now. V'yishalim ibeisoi. You're going to have to make this personal. Rabbi Akiva told the potter ata. No, Rav Tarfon, you don't have to worry. You're potter, because you're a mumcha. What did the Mishnah say? That shakol mumcha the best in potter v'yishalim. That if you're a mumcha and you make a mistake, you're actually potter. Now, if you're going to tell me that if somebody makes a tois bedvar mishnah, it's not a tois anyways, and the halacha is you could be chayzer because as asor psak is nishkaim psak. Rabbi Akiva should have told him that Reb Tarfon, what are you worried about your chamar? You're not losing anything. You know why? Because toya bedvar mishnah ato v'toya bedvar mishnah chayzer. This was a tois bedvar mishnah. Rashi says, where's the mishnah? It's a mishnah mesachte. Chulin and Perikei Lutrefis. It's a Mefurish and Nishna. Nitlo Ha'im Shalok Sheira. So Reb Tarfon's mistake was a Tarfon's permission. So why did Rabbi Akiva have to be Menachem Reb Tarfon after he made a mistake by telling, don't worry Reb Tarfon, you're not going to have to pay. You know why? Because even though you made a mistake, and Masha also, you're a Mumcha. A Mumcha never has to pay. Should have said better. This type of mistake, no one would ever have to pay for, even if you weren't a Mumcha, because it's a Tarfon's permission. Mishnah. And a Torah bedvar mishnah chayzer. Incidentally, you have to know what a mishnah means. I mean, this is Reb Tarfon talking. They are the tanoim that are mentioned in the mishnah. Today we have a mishnah. Rebbe was masad in the mishnah. So you see, there was a concept of a Torah bedvar mishnah already then. But the point is, freik the gemara, isn't that a kasha on Rav Sheshes? You see that even a Torah bedvar mishnah is a toy. So the gemara says no. Don't bring a rai from Rabbi Akiva said, because could be Rabbi Akiva told him two things, meaning. Our version of the exchange between Rabbi Akiva and Rav Tarfon is, Rabbi Akiva tells Rav Tarfon, don't worry about it, Rav Tarfon, you're a mumcha anyways. A mumcha never has to pay for a mistake that he makes. But Kubi really told him two things. Chod, he told him, Toyb Dvar Mishnah, Toyb Dvar Mishnah, Chayzer. Vaid, and Kubi was telling him a second thing. Inami B'shikul Adas to Isa, even if the toys that you made was B'shikul Adas, Mumcha Lebezdin, Atavachala Mumcha Lebezdin, Girsa Sabach, Potter Milashalim is going to be Potter to pay. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok the Ravas. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok told Rava, Makom Moisif Rav Hamnuna l'Rav Sheshes Mipar. I don't understand where Rav Nuna's kasha to Rav Sheshes was. First glance, Rav Nuna asked Rav Sheshes, I get shmack a kasha. Again, Rav Sheshes said that a tovet var mishnah chayzer, and that's our mission. Mishnah says, Dine Mominus Machsirim Bein L'Schuz Bein L'Chayva. What are we talking about? We're talking about a tovet var mishnah. If somebody makes a mistake, he doesn't know that Shnai Moichsim Betalus is Yachaykim Beshua. As an example, such a mistake is not a psak, and therefore you can be chayzas. Rav Nuna asked Rav Sheshes, if that's the case, with this maisa shahaya, Rav Tarfon made a mistake, he paskin that a parra that didn't have its uterus is a treifa, vehechilu Rav Tarfon leklovin, and Rav Tarfon found out later that he made a mistake, he felt terrible. What do you mean he felt terrible? He said, holcha chamor chatarfon. So Rav Nuna told Rav Sheshes that what was the problem over here, and Rabbi Akiva was Menachem, I don't understand the whole issue. It was a Torah B'dvar Mishnah. It's a Mefurash Mishnah Masech Deschula. And being that it was a Torah B'dvar Mishnah, there was no issue. Freik Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok L'Rava, what are you talking about? What's the halacha of Torah B'dvar Mishnah Chayzer? You could undo it. But over here, was Rav Tarfon able to undo it? No, you already fed it to the dogs. So of course Rav Tarfon was right for saying, Holcha Chamorcha Tarfon. Tarfon felt terrible. He says, I understand that had the Parah still been alive, and I could have given it back to the family of Menachem. Perfect. It's a Torah B'dvar Mishnah. I could unwind it. Allah is Chayzer. But being that over here it's not alive anymore, so freak the Gemara. Maikom Moisev Rav Amnul Rav Sheshes Mi Parah. Parah Re'achilu L'Klovim. V'leso De Tahad. It wasn't around anymore. There was no way for him to return it. So the Gemara Hachi Kamal is what he told. E Amrit Bishlam No Torah B'dvar Mishnah Eni Chayzer. Bishlam If Allah is not like Rav Sheshes. Meaning a Torah B'dvar Mishnah Eni Chayzer. Alma Kom Dinas. You see that if the Psak Allah is a Torah B'dvar Mishnah, it is a psak. That's Rav Tarfon got all worried. That explains the whole shakla vitaria between Rav Akiva and Rav Tarfon. But if you can tell me that Allah is that Torah B'dvar Mishnah is chayzer, then he should have told him. Being that had the parach been alive, dinach lav dinah, the din would not have been a din. V'loy klum avdis, you would have done nothing. Hashtanami, even though it's not alive anymore, loy klum avdis, it's nothing. Meaning, it's true, the halacha, the pirish hamilis, is Tabit Var Mishnah Chayzer. Abavash state in Tabit Var Mishnah Chayzer. It's not a psak halacha. You have nothing to worry about. This is all nothing. You didn't do anything. You never even paskin. Therefore, you're not going to be responsible for what happens after that. Whether it's around for you to physically give it back or it's not around for you to physically give it back, the reality is it wasn't a psak. And being that it wasn't a psak, you'd be potter from paying. There is an idea that a dayan that issues a psak, and because of that psak, damage happens, he has to pay. But that's only if it's a psak. If there's a kamdina, if it's a real psak. But being that tub dvar mishnah is nishkaim psak b'chlal, how do I know that? Because had it been around, it'd be chayzer. So I say meris, it's not a psak. If it's not a psak, you should be potter from paying, even if it's not around. Why? Because loy klum avdas. Tosfos right away gets involved in the sugya of dina de garmi. Right? The sugya of garmi is in the sechtes bava kama daf kuf. So bava kama daf kuf is garmi. Bava metzia daf kuf is a machlif par v'chamor. And Bava Basra Daf Kuf is always also a very notable daf. It's Kinyan Hilo. We spoke out a lot of rage when we learned Bava Basra Daf Kuf. So Daf 100 and all three of the Bavas are huge daf. But Bava Kama Daf Kuf is Dina Dagami. And who's the man Amid that's done Dina Dagami? Rav Meir. And the Gemara over there, it's a very short Amid with a lot of tases, but it's a very short Amid. And the Gemara is struggling to find which Rav Meir and Shas is done Dina Dagami. And one of the attempts the Gemara makes is this Mishnah, the Mishnah that the Gemara mentioned on the top of the Amid. It's not Mishnah's Rav Meir, where the Mishnah says that if a Dayan makes a mistake, Masha also v'yishalim ibeisa. Why should a Dayan have to pay? He didn't physically do something. Must be because of garmi. So the Gemara says maybe that's the Rameya that's done dinu de garmi. The Gemara is doichin it based on something that we're going to see in a few minutes. But the point is there is an element of garmi. Anytime a person issues a psak and because of that damage happens, so Tosfos right away starts getting involved in garmi right here because the Gemara seems to be saying that if tov dvar mishnas chayzer, it's not a psak, and to the extent it's not a psak, I don't care what kind of damage came about as a result of my ruling, it's not something you would have to worry about. But regardless, that was the third teretz of the Gemara. We had a stira. If a dayan paskins and he makes a mistake, could he unwind it? Or masha asa asoy? And now it's just a question of you do have to pay, you don't have to pay. You're a mumchi, not a mumchi. That was the stira. The first teretz the Gemara said was, it depends on who the dayan was. A dayan that's a mumcha can unwind this psak. A dayan that's not a mumcha can unwind this psak. The second teretz the Gemara said, it depends on who's the person unwinding it. Meaning the person that makes the toys can't unwind it himself. Somebody else potentially could. So if the other person is gadol hei menu b'chachma, then he could. If the person is not gadol hei menu b'chachma, then he can't. Rav Sheshes was the third test. Rav Sheshes depends on what kind of mistake it was. If it was a tabas v'dvar mishnah, you can be chayzer. If it's not a tabas v'dvar mishnah, you can't be chayzer. Rav Chizdom is the fourth and final teretz. Kancha notov v'nasam b'yad, kancha le notov v'nasam b'yad. If all the dayan did was issue a psak, that's it. He just issued a verdict, and then everything happened on its own, you can unwind that. But if the dayan was the one who physically took the money and he gave it to the person that he said deserves the money, he was not the vinosan biyad. Over there, the halacha is that the psak is going to be a good psak. Says the Gemara, Bishloimo chayiv es hazakai. Now the Mishnah said the halacha by ziko es hachayiv, v'chayiv es hazakai. Masha asu asui. That's the Mishnah Mechayris. The Rav Chizda just said, you have to hal kap. The Rav Chizda just said, is not of an osam biyad. That's why it's Masha Asa Asa. So the Gemara says, I understand how Chayiv es Hazakai could be not of an osam biyad. You're going to not of an osam biyad. It's very simple. You said, Ruvain, you owe $100. Bezdin went into Ruvain's keshina. They took out his wallet. They swiped his credit card for $100. So he was not al vinas nabiyat elazika es achayiv. But let's say the psak was Reuven, you don't owe anybody anything. You're potter. Heichim mishkachasel. How's it physically possible to be not al vinas nabiyat? Not al vinas nabiyat means that you mechayiv somebody. You took it from him physically. But if you're telling me that he doesn't have to pay, that was the psak. The psak is that he's that guy. How does it physically play itself out with a not al vinas nabiyat? And the Mishnah says clearly chayiv es hazakai and Zika es achayev, masha asa asa, which Rav Chizda is saying is only true, he's not of an asa biyat. The Gemara says, Damali paterata, he said he's pater. V'holoi not of an asa biyat. No, but kivin damar paterata, kimoisha not of an asa biyat, Dami. Being that Reuven is muchsik in his money, when Bezin says you're pater, he can hold on to his money, that constitutes not of an asamiyat, something to think about. But that's the svara that the Gemara says. Elo, but the Gemara says, I'll ask you a kasha, our Mishnah, masnisin diktani dinim amnes machsirim bein l'schos bein l'chayva, which again, Rav Chizda's being mefarish, is talking about kishaloi not of an asamiyat. So the Gemara asks a geshmak a kasha. Bishloi me l'schos, mishkachasla. I understand machzir and luschos. What's machzir and luschos? Bezdin said Reuven Yechayev. They weren't not of an asim biyad. Now Bezdin realizes they made a mistake. They can unwind. What's the case of chayva? The amalei paterata, right? The case is they said Reuven you pater, and then they realized they made a mistake. It was loy not of an asim biyad. So what are you going to do? You're going to unwind it. Well, Amrit, but the Gemara says you just said that kivan the amalei paterata. Once you say paterata, kimoisha not of an asim biyad on me. So then you can unwind it. If you're telling me that the Mishnah B'chayrus is talking about not of an asim biyad, that you're going to be forced to say that. What does it mean when it says zik? It means that even though you weren't not of an asam biyad, but saying paterata constitutes not al the asam biyad. If that's the case, then how is it ever possible chayiv es hazakai or zik es hachayiv where you're going to unwind it in loin not of an asam biyad? Because the word paterata, that in and of itself constitutes not of an asam biyad. So the Gemara says, you have to say Chodik Tani. The way you have to read the Mishnah is Dinei Mominus Machzirin L'schus Shehi Chayva. Not Machzirin L'schus and Machzirin L'chayva. You can't. You can't be Machzir L'chayva. Because once you say paterata, it's like not of an asam biyad, and then the halach is already going to be Machzir Asa Asa. What then does it mean when it says Machzirin L'chayva? The way you read it is not machzirin l'schos and machzirin l'chayva. It's machzirin l'schos shehi chayva. What does it mean shehi chayva? Because it's the flip side of the same coin. If Reuven is potter, that means this other person that potentially was going to benefit from whatever Reuven was supposed to get is going to end up losing out. So you're right, it's talking about two things. You can't be machzir l'chayva. Because once you say paterata, it's kemoshe not of an asam biyadam. So what does it mean, machzir l'chayva? There is no such concept of machzir l'chayva. It's machzir l'schus shehi chayva, says the Gemara. But if that's the case, then you have to say the kavasa gavad dine nefashas. Remember, our Mishnah was comparing and contrasting between dine mominus and dine nefashas. So dine mominus, you can be machzir l'schus al l'chayva. Dine nefashas, you can be machzir l'schus. And you can't be machzor l'chayva. Now we just said that really dinei mominus, you can't be machzor l'chayva. Why can't you be machzor l'chayva? Because once you say paterata, it's kemoshe not of an asam biyadam, and that's already the Mishnah b'chayrus macha asa asa. What does it mean when we say l'chayva? We mean even if something is not 100% schus, it's schusay shalzeh, but it's also chayvasay shalzeh. Over there, you could be chayzer. That means that if you had an equivalent case in dinei nefashis, where it's schusay shalzeh, shehi chayvasay shalzeh, it's there that the Mishnah is saying that you can't be chayzer. Meaning, till now, the second part of the Mishnah made perfect sense. What does it mean, dinei nefashis, you can't be machzor l'chayvah? If Bezdin said, Reuven, you're off the hook, you're fine, you're an innocent man, go live the rest of your life like a free man. They can't come back and wheel him back into Bezdin. 1 second, we have a new piece of evidence, we think now we want to retry it. That's not something you're allowed to do. But we're saying that you can't do that by dinei mominus either. Because once Bezdin says paterata, it's kemoshe not of an asa v'yadam imasha asa asa. What does it mean, you machzor l'chayva? It means something that, as a derivative, is chayva. It was chusay shalzeh, shehi chayva asay shalzeh. That means a similar case by dinei nefashis is what the Mishnah means when it says ein machzirin l'chayva by dinei nefashis. So the Gemara says, the kavasa, gavin nefashis, machzirin l'schus, machzirin l'chayva, machzirin l'schus, chus greatest. So when you say he can be machzirin l'schus by dinei nefashis, so that's pashut. We say he's guilty, and then afterwards we realize that he's innocent. But the ein machzirin l'chayva means l'schus shehi chayva. Chayva say the man, what's even the case? Ivritaych. What's the case of dinei nefashis where it's schusay shalzeh, but chayvasay shalzeh? So the Gemara says, alei kasha, chayvasay de goyel adam. Maybe it's chayvasay shal goyel adam. Because by saying that you're innocent, the goyel adam can't kill you. Being that the goyel adam can't kill you. So the innocent man just had a good day. The goyel adam had a bad day. Because he wanted to avenge his relative's blood by killing who he thought was the Ritzach. But because Bezdin said that he's Zakai, see, he's the one that ends up losing out. So there is an element of chayvasay shalzeh. That's what we mean. But the Gemara says, you mean to tell me that the halacha is that if there's a person who Bezdin thinks really is an innocent man, they're not going to save his life? Because you have to realize it's chusay shalzeh, but chayvasay shalzeh. Because the girl adam is going to lose that. Mishum chayvasay the girl adam katlin and leila hay. No way in the world. For the Gemara says Rav Chizkiya's pshat doesn't really work anyways. Because my bain. The Mishnah said, Machsirim bein l'schus bein l'chayva. Rav Chizda, because of the cheshbon in the last 7 minutes, was forced to say that it's not really two things. It's Machsirim l'schus shehi chayva. Zok de Gemara, you're right. Kasha. Ravina Amar. Ravina said, I don't think it's a kasha. Ravina says that the whole last shtickel Gemara doesn't bother me so much. What was this whole Gemara? It started with Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said, now you reconcile the Sira. Our Mishnah says that if Bezdin makes a mistake, they can unwind it. It's something when Bezdin just issued a psak, they didn't do anything about it. The Mishnah B'chayrus that says Masha Asa Asru is talking about where they were knocked over Nasambiya. They actually did something about it. Then Bezdin can't unwind it. What was the kasha? The kasha was Bishloy Mechayves Hazakai Aget. Bazika Sachayv I don't care. So the Gemara was forced to say that Potterata constitutes not of an asbiyat. If that's the case, then how do you understand our Mishnah? You have to say schusay shazeh, shichayvasal shazeh, which ended up getting us into tzaris. But all the tzaris came because the Gemara didn't understand how it's possible not of venasam biyad by potter. By potter, doesn't make any sense. Chayavata, yeah, you take the guy's money. But potterata, that's besheva al taisa. How's it, if we had another teretz to that kasha, then we can avoid the last 10 lines of Gemara, and we're not going to end up with kasha. So Ravina said, I have another mahalach. Kigoyin shahoyolei biyadei mashkin v'notloi hemenu. Very simple. Paterata meant where this person had a mashkin sitting by somebody else. And then Bezdin realized that this whole halva was nishken halva. So they did something. They took the mashkin from the malva, they gave it to the loiver. Then they didn't just tell the loiver, Paterata, you don't owe him the $10,000 that this shtar allegedly claims you owe. But not just that, this mashkin that the malva is holding, I'm giving it back to you. They did something. And it's only in that case, where the halacha is masha asa asa, because there's a real not of an asa biyad. And the same says the Gemara, Times Atar, the Agi Besheretz. How could they have physically been metama Atar? They said, you know how positive we are that this is Tomei? They took a Sheretz, boom, dahasta. Now it's for sure Tomei, right? Or Tiras Atomei, Kigon Sheirvim Ben Peroisav. They were so positive that this thing that people thought is Tomei is Tar, that they took it and they threw it Ben Peroisav. The bottom line is, four terutzim and how to reconcile the steel. Like I said, if you look in the Rishonim and the Poiskim, you're going to be turning a lot of pages in Siman Chaf Hei if you want to go through this halacha. Either way, a few horrors. Number one, so we have the concept of a Tav B'Dvar Mishnah, that if a Dayan makes a mistake and he completely blows it, he was Tav B'Dvar Mishnah, the halacha is chayzer. The Gemara said, Heichi Domi, Dvar Mishnah. So the Gemara said, whether it's a Mishnah, whether it's a Braisa, whether it's something that Ravin Shmuel said, the Gemara said, even something Ravin or Ravashi said, any of the aforementioned is going to be considered Tar B'Dvar Mishnah. It's interesting that the Rishonim, if you take a look at the Rosh, he brings an Arichos from the Ravid and other Rishonim, that the Rishonim discussed, what if Bizman Noi? So the Rosh was one of the Rishayim. Bizmano, if somebody would have made a mistake about a psak that was issued by one of the Ga'oinim, what would halacha be? Would that constitute Tav B'Dvar Mishnah? Or would that not constitute Tav B'Dvar Mishnah? Meaning, you see the concept of Tav B'Dvar Mishnah regarding a Mishnah? That makes perfect sense. A Braisa, that also makes perfect sense. The Mishnah and the Braisa were written by the Tanoim. And we know that from the Dor of the Tanoim to the Dor of the Amiram, there was a phenomenal spiritual decline. That was the year 4000. We always speak out the Mashal in Perek Chelek. After the year 4000, there was already no Torah. Malkav Asareh, Bagoyim ain't Torah. Right, so there was a tremendous decline. I mean, this is Talmud 101. I mean, one of the first things you have to know when you sit down and open up a Gemara is that there are Tanoim and there are Amiram. Right, all the tzaddikim mentioned in Shas can be divided into two groups. And an Amir is not allowed to argue with a Tan. An Amir can argue with a Tan. So there was a decline after this Zman Tana. Not just that, the Gemara took it so far to say even Rav and Shmuel and Ravin and Ravashi, who were the last Amiram, they're the ones that wrote the Talmud Bavli, so Ravina and Ravashi, even them nobody could argue. And that makes perfect sense as well. Because after the Zman of the Amiram, that's Chasimas HaTalmud, the Gemara talks about that, that's it, it's over, right? You can't pass from Keneged the Gemara. If there's a Yerushalmi Keneged the Bavli, if there's a Zayra Kodesh Keneged the Bavli, that's where it gets interesting. But you can't argue Keneged the Talmud Bavli. So it makes sense that if a Dayan would paskin Keneged a Mishnah or a Braisa, that's Tanoim, Keneged a Gemara, that's Amiram, so he's dead on a arrival. That's a Tavid Var Mishnah. That type of psak is not going to be a good psak. The Rishonim wanted to know, what about the Ga'onim? So there was a Tkufa known as the Tkufas HaGa'onim. A Tkufa that we're not as familiar with as we are with the Rishonim. We're very familiar with the Tkufas HaRishonim because that's what we do. The Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfos, the Rambam, the Rif, the Rashba, the Ramban, the Ritva, the Ran, the Rosh, right? These are all Rishonim. So we're familiar with the Rishonim. The Ga'onim, not as much. And the Rishonim wanted to know whether if someone made a Ta'os in a psak halacha of the Ga'onim, to them, maybe that's the same as making a tois in a Gemara. It's like making a tois in Rav and Shmuel, Ravina and Rav Ashi. And that was the shaila. And the bottom line is, it seems pretty clear from the Rishonim that if a Rishon would make a tois kineged a psak halacha of one of the Ga'onim, the tois would be considered a tois bedvar mishnah. So I think just to appreciate this a little bit better, it's kedai to understand a little bit of the history of the Ga'onim. Again, this Tkufas HaGa'onim gets lost a little bit. And it's important to understand. I'll read to you from the Me'iri. The Me'iri wrote a sefer. It's called Seder HaKabbalah. It's a history work, unbeknownst. But the Me'iri wrote a book. I have the sefer. It's fascinating. There's a lot of beautiful things in the sefer. And this is somewhere in the middle. It's page 122 if you happen to have it. But the Me'iri is talking about, and he's lamenting, the decline between his generation, the Tkufas HaRishonim, and the Friya de Gedayris, the Tkufas of the Ga'onim. Listen to how he describes, just one paragraph, how he describes the Ga'onim. V'roi sheteda, she'adayin, and this is at the end of the Tkufas HaGa'onim, hoyu ha-yeshivas gedayloys v'nechbadoys. They were big, very chashav yeshivas. V'atalmidim erubim, they had many talmidim. Toirasan umnasan, all they did was sit and learn. V'koshkein rosh ha-yeshivas, v'hanismochim b'ga'onis. Certainly the rosh yeshivas, they were of a whole different caliber. They wouldn't leave Beis Medrash, not during the day and not at night. They knew the entire Talmud Balpe, or certainly close to the entire Talmud. The Divrei Torah, the Talmud, Sodur Bethim Keparsha Shema. They were able to go through, rattle off, Blete Gemara, the same way any child can say Shema. Umitoich Kach. It was because of that. They never felt it necessary to write svarim. They knew everything. What are you writing a sefer for? For them to have sat down and written a commentary on the Talmud Bavli was kamisha yichte bismanenu. The Meiri says that's like somebody today would write Laz Hamilas. Since if someone in his day would write an art scroll Gemara, what's the point? Everybody knows how to teach the Gemara. It's not necessary. So the Meiri says they didn't write anything. What was the point? Everybody knew everything. V'goram lehem zesh lehir koisin rak ma'at. And it's for that reason there's so little literature that came out from the Dor of the Ga'onim. You know why, says the Meiri? Because nobody needed it. It wasn't necessary. They already had everything. So they knew everything. What's the point? And he said, if there was someone that didn't know, go to yeshiva, find a rebbe to teach you, you would be fine. There wasn't an issue. He says, as a matter of fact, the few chiburim that came out from the Dor of the Ga'onim all came out with tzayruch shah. There was a reason. Listen to what he says. Kabalnu kabbalah gemura al Rav Achla zal. He says, I have a kabbalah about Rav Achla, Rav Achoy Goyim. He wrote the she'ultas. Shehoyu loy ben, he had a son, v'loyhoyu libay chofetz liya sheikah klal. So what did he do? So he wrote for this son the Sefer HaShe'iltos, Kadesh B'chol Shabbos V'Shabbos, so that every Shabbos, Kishayikru HaSeder, when he's Mavis Sedra, this is the son who's not holding by learning. At least he should have something. The She'iltos is not an easy Sefer to learn. So he sat down, Rabbi Chaya Goyen, he wrote the She'iltos for his son that was giving him a hard time. So there's a Sefer that came from the Ga'onim, Rabbi Chaya Goyen, that it's wrote a pirush on it. Right, the She'iltos, Rabbi Chaya Goyen, he wrote it, not because this was his magnum opus, I'm going to teach you Torah. No, he wrote it for a son that wasn't holding by learning. He wasn't yeshiva. He didn't know kol ha-Torah kula, baal peh. So for him, he needs the she'iltas. He says, v'chein kibal, we'll have a kabbalah, but Reb Sadi Goyim. He wrote one of his svarim, and it was because he had a Talmud that became a rov in the city, and they used to bring him a lot of chesha mishpat shaylas, and he was overwhelmed. He couldn't give zechan eitzah. So he told his Rebbe, help me, I need some help. So Reb Sadi Goyim gave him like a handbook so he should be able to navigate the depths of Chesha Mishpat. He wrote a sefer. Again, it was the Tzayruch Shah. It wasn't something that was necessary. He continues and he talks about how great the Talmid Chacham were at that time. And he says as follows. He said there was some Talmid Chachamim that knew Klasa Sidri. They knew three of the Shisha Sidri Mishnah Klar. Ratzalayma, which three? Mayid, Noshim and Ezekim. V'hu ha'yenikra etzlam chacham, or probably chacham. So they were the chacham. They knew three sedarim. U'mehem b'talmud al-tzidji. Then there were those that knew four sedarim. Ratzalema, they also knew kotshim. V'hu ha'yenikra etzlam rav. He got the title Rav. So Rav is more than Chacham. Umehem betalmud shisha sidra. Then there was some that knew all shisha sidra in Mishnah. Ratzaloimar betay sefes. They also knew his Ramatiris. V'oz hayu royally kari goyin. And then he became a goyin. Remez, why goyin? Because the gematria of the word goyin is 60, and it's a remez to the 60 mesachtes in the shisha sidra Mishnah. Unbelievable. So you want to know who a goyin was? A goyin was someone that knew everything. He didn't just know Noshim Nezikin and this. He knew everything. He knew all the Sidrei Mishnah. That's how you became a guy. And then he continues the Miri. And he says, unfortunately, V'noshiv Lidvareinu. For who? Shemeazman haniska Veheno Ratzoloimar. Me'is Goinis Rabbeinu Chananul Zal. He was from the last Goinim. Nesmato Yediyas HaChachomim. It's not the same anymore. V'hisravcha mailos hachiburim v'hapirushim. Mibnei shemizman, Rav Haigoyim, Godlu hatzoris, v'godom le'vabriyos. And he goes on and on and on. And he says, we've come to the point today where we don't know how to learn so much anymore. He says, you should know, I heard that somebody told me that there was a tshuva, a shaila that was sent to a certain Godlu in his dar. It was a mesechta sedar. And he writes back to him, he says, I'm sorry, that I can't, I'll quote, Du be'edus nemana, shloi nishnis mesechtes nedarim b'yeshiva zeh kufshana. We haven't learned mesechtes nedarim in already 100 years. He says, that's what we're holding today. So he says, this is where we were, and this is where we are today. Zokta mi'iri, it's because of that. It's because that there's such a yiridus adoris in the world that we're living in right now, we are forced to sit down and start writing chiburim on the Gemara. Because a person can't just sit down today and learn a Gemara, rattle off the same way he can Shema, or read it without, he needs to. It says, therefore, there are many people today, he has a whole industry of quote-unquote Rishonim that are writing commentary on Gemara. They're writing commentary on the Torah, on the Nevi'im, and the Ksuvim. You know why they're doing it? Because later, he says, we look around, people need it. It's something that we need. And he says, from all the different Mepharshim that have been written, the ones that stand out the most, for sure, in the world of Pshat, is Rashi. And he quotes the, says that in Rashi, even though there are people that are questioning Rashi, he says, I can tell you now that the teretz to Rashi is always in Rashi. And even though Rashi is Makatzer, but you have to realize, B'mila achas, this is the Meiri talking, Yichlo, the famim teirutzin shal chavile kushes. Rashi will sometimes say one word and he's answering bundles of kashes in this word. And he says, because of this, they had to write Svarim on Psak Halacha also, Uberoishim, the Rambam and the Rif. But this whole industry of Svarim, hen the commentary, and hen the Psak Halacha, is all a result of a tremendous Yiridus HaDeiros. So there are two fascinating things that I took out of this Miri. It says, number one is, you know, how come the Goyim didn't produce so much? It almost looks like, looking back 800-900 years, that there was an Achshadar. Right? The Goyim was a relatively quiet time in our history, somewhere between the Tkufa of the Amirayim and the Tkufa of the Rishayim. It's just the opposite. What was going on, Bizman HaGa'inim was half full of a fella. It was so great, they didn't have to produce Svarim. It's not that they couldn't, it wasn't necessary. And not just that, this cook, that the fact that there was such a riboy, there was such a harbatza of Torah in the times of the Rishonim, that was a result of the fact that there was some tremendous decline. A tremendous decline. Similar to what happened between the Tanam and the Amiram. Right? The Amiram wrote the Talmud Bavli. It's unbelievable what they produced. But we know that the Amiram came after the situation had declined tremendously spiritually. But it's amazing because we look back nostalgically at the Tkufa of the Rishonim. In hindsight, that's certainly the way it seems. But the Meiri, who's living in the Dar of the Rishonim, had a very different perspective. It bothered him. He says, how come you can't sit down and learn a Gemara without a Rashi? I mean, you need Taisvis. Who needs Taisvis? Learn without a Rashi. Learn without a Taisvis. It's fascinating. It's interesting. I mean, I think it's quite apropos to, you know, what you hear people say today, because, you know, people get bent out of shape. Art scroll, Masifta, this, that, the other thing. Apps, right? No, but but the truth is, I don't have a doubt that, you know, in 100 years from now, you know, Mashiach should come, but in 100 years from now, people are going to look back and they're going to say, wow, look at what this dart produced. It's half of a fella. Think about it. It's unbelievable. You're right. There are people, old school, the purists, that feel it's not necessary. Just like the Meiri felt that it wasn't necessary to learn with Rishayna. I'm not comparing Chalila, so nobody get too excited. But the point is, I think, a fair point, and that is that sometimes the way something looks in real time is not the same way it's going to be perceived years later when you revisit it and you look at it from hindsight. But the bottom line is, you can appreciate now a little bit better what the Rishayim said. So Zogin the Hilgi Rishayim, the Rosh, the Ravid, the Chule, that if somebody is not a Rishayim, is going to go, and he's going to issue a psak, and the psak that he's going to issue is going to be Kineged the Ga'oimin. He's a Taibet Var Mishnah. He's a Taibet Var Mishnah. Because there was such a decline from the Tkuf of the Ga'oimin, the Kufa the Rishayim, without a question, he's going to be a Tarbid Var Mishnah. I'll tell you one final note on this, and that is, if you look at the Tumim, so the Tumim is Simen Chof Hey, that's what these halachas are discussed in Shulchan Aruch. So the Tumim says that the same would be true in his dar if somebody would issue a psak keneged the Beis Yosef Rama, or even if somebody would issue a psak keneged the Sma and the Shach. Discusses what if this machlokes is man shach? He says the shach more than this man. But the bottom line is, if you take a look at the Tumim, he says the same thing would be true over there. We mentioned this once, very, very briefly, in Rabbi Moshe's famous tshuva Nigris Moshe. So we spoke about this in the Kamsa Bar Kamsa here, where Rabbi Moshe talks about am v'zunusay shob schari ben afkilos caused churban beis hamikdash, and Rabbi Moshe was defending a psak that people thought was a chiddush. And Rav Moshe said, what do you mean? We have to paskin based on what we have to paskin. And even if it's a chiddush, right, the case over there was Rav Moshe was being matur and aguna, it seems. And people, how can you be matur and aguna? So he says, aha. So I should be matur and aguna. Instead, I should do what? I should make this woman be an aguna for the rest of her life? Is that what we're supposed to do? That's mamish anvesanusa, shob schari ben afgilos. He was afraid to be matur and aguna. He was afraid to be mila a korban that it was about mom. And instead, what did he have? He had an aguna. He had korban beis hamikdash. So Rav Moshe over there goes and he says that a person has to have plates. And he has to be prepared to issue a psak, even if it's going to be unpopular, and even if it's something shaloi nimtzu bepoiskim. So this just this one word. He says, "V'af imachr osi l'famim negedes ha'goyinim mirabi seinu achreinim." He says, even if your psak is going to be connected some of the achreinim, ma'bekach havadei sharishom af anu lachloik alu achreinim. We have a right to argue with Rishonim. By the way, if you go through Tshuva Zigris Moshe, Moshe doesn't quote achreinim very often. Because I'm Sefer sometimes, I'm the Behuda sometimes, but he doesn't drezich in the world of Achreinim. Rav Moshe drezich in the world of the Rishayim, not in the way of the Achreinim. So this one line is ma'od matim to the entirety of Igris Moshe. I mean, the Igris Moshe looks like it was written in the 19th century. And if you saw the Igris Moshe and you didn't know who wrote it, you wouldn't believe that it was written in literally in our dar. I mean, Rav Moshe lived into the 1980s in the Lower East Side of New York City. It's You would think it was written in Presburg in the year 1820, around the time that the Tshuva Sam Sefer was written. I mean, that's what you would think. But the bottom line is, so says Rav Moshe, Ma'abakach, Havadei Sharisham Af Anu Lach Le'galo Achreinim, V'gam Lefamim Alezer Rishoinim. Sometimes you're allowed to argue with Rishoinim, K'sheyesh Rayis Nechoinis, V'ikr Gam B'taim Nochim. He says, as long, I'm skipping, Kivan She'enei Neged HaPoiskim HaMeforsamim. As long as you don't go Keneged HaPoiskim HaMeforsamim, Bali HaShulchan Aruch, She'neskablu B'chol Medinoi Seinu. That you're not allowed to do. But up until that, he says he thinks you are allowed to. But the bottom line is this fascinating idea of Torah Var Mishnah. We're not done yet. Zok the Gemara Vayter Dine Nefashos. So we said that Dine Nefashos Machzirin L'Schus the Ein Machzirin L'Chayva. Zok the Gemara Tanur Rabbat Minayin. How do you know the Yotzei MiBezdin Chayev? If somebody leaves Bezdin, a guilty man. And then somebody says, Yesh li l'lamed olav schos, that I think I have a way to prove that this person is really innocent. Minayin shemachzirin. How do you know you machzal l'schos? Talmud Loimetz learned that from a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'noki v'tzadik al taharoik. V'noki v'tzadik al taharoik. Says the Gemara, Noki, what does Noki mean? Someone that was found to be guilty, but really he's Noki. So Noki al taharik. Minayin li yotzei mibezdin zakai. How do you know that someone that left bezdin zakai? V'amar echad yeshu lamed olav chayv. Minayin she'ein machzir noisoi. How do you know that we don't return? So this is the opposite. This is someone that left zakai. Now someone says, I think he's chayiv. So what's the halacha? Ein machzir l'chayv. You can't bring him back in. How do you know that? Talmud Loimer tzadik al taharik. So the pasuk says, v'noki v'tzadik al taharik. Noki is an innocent person. Someone that was found guilty, but really he's innocent. Tzadik is a guilty person, he was just found to be righteous. So the halacha is, both of them al-tarik. Noki, meaning if you were found guilty, but really you're innocent, you wheel him back in. That's machzir l'schus. Tzadik al-tarik means you were found innocent, really you're guilty. It doesn't matter. It's tzadik al tar. Amar Rav Simi ben Ashi, v'chiluf al amesis. Just the opposite when it comes to amesis. Dechsiv, loy sachmo, v'loy sachasa. Unbelievable. Amesis is absolutely in the reverse. Rav Kahane Masni, Rav Kahane said that I know amesis is different because it says by amesis, horig tahargenu. Horig tahargenu is l'rabbis. Kill this person. If he's found guilty and then somebody thinks he has a schos, just kill him anyways. It's horik target. Boy, my name Rav Zayin Rav Sheishes. Chayv Golios. My, what about Chayv Golios? Someone that was Chayv Golos. So is he treated like Chayv Mises Bezdin? Is this like a Dine Nefashis? Or is it not like a Dine Nefashis? Meaning, do you have the same halacha of Machzirin Luschos? The in machzirin l'chayva, or maybe it's like dinei mamonis with machzirin bein l'schus bein l'chayva. So that was Rav Zeir's kasha to Rav Sheishes, and he told him back asir ritzeach ritzeach. This is Zeir Shav, the parish of Golos to the parish of Ritzicha, so that just like someone that kills b'mezid, the halacha is ein machzirin l'chayva. So too, if somebody kills b'shoigig, ein machzirin l'chayva. Chayvin malchus. What about chayvin malchus? Asir rasha rasha. So malchus and Golos both fall into the category of dinei nefashis, where the halacha is that machzirin l'schus ve'im machzirin l'chayv. Tanya nami hachi abraisa chayv golos minayin asir ritzeach ritzeach chayv malchus minayin asir rasha rasha. So what emerges from this gemara is that there's a chiluk between dinei mamadis and dinei nefashis as it relates to if bezdin issues a psak. Could they unwind the psak or not? Dinei mamadis, that was the majority of today's daf. That's machzirim bein l'schos, bein l'chayva, four different parameters based on the different pshatim in the Gemara and the tremendous arichos in the Rishayim with regards to what the bottom line is. As it relates to dinei nefashis, it's a little bit more straightforward. It's machzirim l'schos, so if he was found guilty and then afterwards Bezdin feels that he's really innocent, you can bring it back in. Ve'in machzirim l'chayva, and the Gemara said a chiddush. The Gemara said it's not just true for a person that's literally on death row, that they're potentially going to kill. But even if someone's only a ritzech b'shoigig, what's halacha ritzech b'shoigig goes to galus? Or even if someone's only chayiv malchus, even in those cases, we have zeir shavas, ritzech, ritzech, rasha, rasha, that tells us this halacha. Now, if these gzeir shavas sound a little familiar, it's because the Gemara had brought it earlier in the Masechta, Sanhedrin daf yudam and aleph. We know that malchus is b'shloisha. Malchus is not treated like dinei nefashis, that requires a bezin shachov gimel, but rather it's treated like a regular bezdin that requires a bezdin shell gimel. Reb Shmuel Reb Yosi argued. Reb Shmuel Reb Yosi said be'esrim v'shloish. The Gemara said, how do you know that? So Abaye said, asir rasha rasha. This is gzeir shava. Rasha rasha. This exact gzeir shava that the Gemara brought here. So just like the Gemara is saying over here that there's a gzeir shava rasha rasha to tell me that chayvei golus are like chayvei mises bezdin regarding in machzirin l'chayv. Reb Shmuel Reb Yosi took it to an extreme. He said that it's going to require a bezin. Rav over there said, Malchus b'makom Misa imedes. You don't need a gzeir shava. Malchus is really like Misa. Why is it like Misa? So we spoke about that. We had some rain on that. Tosfos said, maybe because sometimes people used to die when they got Malchus. The Shiarim and son of Alocha, he said that it's maybe not so likely a person's going to die, but it's certainly likely he's going to bleed. He hit somebody 39 times. Get the frask. So at some point, there's a good chance that he's going to start oozing blood. And if someone is Isach Habura on Shabbos, he's Chayev for Netilas Neshama. See, is he causing a person to bleed? It's like killing him. Malchus is like, we said that maybe it's because the Pasuk says, V'nikla Achicha Beinecha. And a Malbub Nechaver Berabim, the Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shari Tshuva, is Abizrayu Deshvichas Domus. This is great that we spoke out on the Yudam and Aleph. The idea that there isn't just a Gzeres Shava between Malchus and Misa, but in Malchus there's a little bit of an element of a Misa. So I was just thinking that it could be this idea is true regarding Golos. So in the feud we spoke a little bit about Malchus, here a little bit about Golos. If somebody kills somebody with Mezid, he's Chayv Misa. If somebody kills somebody with Shoigit, he has to go to exile at Moiska in Golos. He has to be in Golos. So just two Ha'aris regarding Golos and the comparison between a person who's chayiv golos and a person that's actually chayiv misa. The first ha'ara is a gemara in Masechtas Makis daf yud alef min alef. Very geshmaka ha'ara. The gemara over there says, really going on the Mishnah, so we know if somebody kills somebody b'shoigig, he had to go to golos. Until when? Ad mois koin gadol. Says the Mishnah, im atcha lo nigmar din oi mois koin gadol. What if somebody killed somebody b'shoigig? And before the gemar din, the koin gadol died. So, tough luck. Umanu achar tachtav, and then they appointed another kohen gadol. Ula achar mikein nigmar dinoy, and then there was the gmar din. So the new kohen gadol was the kohen gadol at the time of the gmar din, and then that kohen gadol dies. Chayzer b'misas shalsheni. Then already he can leave. So it depends on who the kohen gadol was at the time of the gmar din. So let's say there was one kohen gadol present at the time of the ritzicha, but it was a different kohen gadol at the time of the gmar din. He won't go free when the first kohen gadol dies. It was before the gmar din. He'll go free when the second kohen gadol dies. Freik the gemara shmak akasha. Why was it that the ritzach b'shoyg used to go to Golas when the kohen gadol died? What does the kohen gadol have to do with the ritzach b'shoyg? Says the gemara, it has a lot to do with it, because the kohen gadol used to go into the kodesh hakodashim every Yom Kippur. Kohen gadol was the shliach tzibur. We have our own in-house shliach tzibur today. Kohen gadol was the shliach tzibur. His job was to represent Klai Yisrael. He should have davened better. He should have made sure that something like this didn't happen. And it's for that reason that Adaf is Trogon of Zion places. And yet, his fate is somewhat intertwined with the fate of the Ritzach B'Shoig. So much so, that the Ritzach B'Shoig would daven sometimes and wait for him to die, because his dying is his get out of jail card. That's Fate to Gemara. If that's the case, I understand why the Ritzach B'Shoigig should go free in the event that the Kohen Gadol was Kohen Gadol at the time that the murder was committed. But in the Mishnah's case, with the Kohen Gadol that was Kohen Gadol held cup at the time that the Ritzicha took place, already died. There's a new Kohen Gadol that was appointed sometime during the trial. He became Kohen Gadol before the Gemar Din. Now there was a Gemar Din. Why should this Ritzach B'Shoigig go free when that Kohen Gadol dies? Why is his fate intertwined with this Ritzach B'Shoigig? He's not complicit. His hands are clean. Bishlam with the Kohen Gadol that was alive at the time of the Ritzicha. So there's a taina on him. He should have davened. But this Kohen Gadol, what did he do? Because he was there at the time of the Gemar Din. As I freak the Gemara Kasha. It's a Gemara's Kasha. Says the Gemara, it's a taina on him. You know what the taina is? Hayulay levakish rachamim sheyik mardinay l'schus. He should have davened. He should have davened Shmoyne Esre to make sure that this person who right now is standing trial, that he may have to run to goals, daven that he should be Zakel Adin. Azoy Zoktigamah. Fred Rablaza Fleckless, the Baal Tshuva Mehava, Talmud Muvik of the Noida Yehuda. So Fred Rablaza Fleckless, he says, what's Pashim Shad of this Gemara? You're asking this person to daven that what? The Bezin should make a mistake? We're learning the Sugis now. Bezin's not allowed to make mistakes. Not a Hefkevelt. Masha'asa also, if you shall be basic. Holcha chamarcha tarfin, Reb Tarfin has this horrible remorse because of this psak, this mistake that he made. So what's this tefillah? So Kohen Gadol should daven that if there's someone that's guilty, even though be Arta Rami Kirbecha, please Hashem make Bezin botch it. Let them make a mistake. Let them forget a halacha. Do something. They should be toy b'shikl adas b'something. So this person should be free. Seems like a pretty interesting halacha. Azoy freik Rablaza Fleckless. Zok Rablaza Fleckless. I'm going to tell you the teretz. Because there's a gemara in a few places. And one of them is our gemara that we just learned right now. That compares the ritzach b'shoigik to the ritzach b'mezit. And just like the ritzach b'mezit in machzirin l'chayva, so to the ritzach b'shoigik is in machzirin l'chayva. And what's the reason for it? As your rosh rosh. Oh, Asir Ritzach. It's learned out from a Gzeirah Shavah. That means the halachas that govern Ritzicha B'Mezid are similar to the halachas that govern Ritzicha B'Shoig. We know the halacha is, Heragoinus, the halacha is that if a Bezin Shachav Gimel oversees the case of a murder trial, and all 23 say Chayiv, what's the halacha? That lachas he's going to be zakai. If all 23 say chayiv, he's going to be zakai. Zok Rablaza Fleckless, based on the same zera shavat, the same halacha has to be true by Gauls. By Gauls, it has to be the same thing. That if all dayanim would think chayiv, he would really be zakai. Zok Rablaza, that's what he should have davened. He should have davened that all the dayanim not make a mistake. Mistake would mean that he is guilty and they should say innocent. No, don't say innocent. Because that's a mistake. Don't be a tire. Everyone should think of it. There shouldn't even be one person that gets it wrong. If everybody gets it right, then he's going to be Zakeh. We'll save the second already for next week. Either way, I get an Erev Shabbos Kodesh.